You know, he came from a background of he had an ideology that was significantly to the left of his constituents. He had a hysterical style that was often over the top and unappealing, but he really had political courage. I mean, he was in politics to change things. And so, you know, I tell the story in this book about when he started politics, nobody in the Minnesota political establishment was lining up behind him. They saw him as this kind of leftist professorial gadfly. He showed up at a meeting of wealthy corporate lawyers one morning at 7:30 on top of a Minneapolis skyscraper, and he was still wearing the muscle shirt from his morning workout and drenched in sweat, and delivered this anti-capitalist rant that might have been appropriate to an audience of union members, but was definitely not going to appeal to 12 seated, muted, and aghast corporate lawyers. What he did have was this belief in political courage, and that manifested itself over and over again in his career and helped him even when he was out of sync with his constituents on the issues. Probably the best example is the 1996 welfare vote, when right-wing Republicans were determined to cut children off of welfare, really punish them for their parents' inability to provide for them. And he believed that that was wrong. But at the time, welfare was the whipping boy for the Republicans in some of the same way that immigration is now. And in fact, a poll at the time by the Minneapolis Star Tribune found that more Minnesotans blamed welfare recipients for America's problems than any other group. And the other groups were liberals and gays and lesbians, et cetera, et cetera. So it was really unpopular, and that kind of mania gripped the entire country. And as a result, every single other Democrat running for re-election to the Senate in 1996 voted for the Republican welfare reform, and Bill Clinton signed it. But Wellstone said, "You could hold the gun to my head, and I still wouldn't vote for it." Even though that position was incredibly unpopular with Minnesotans and political pundits predicted doom for him, what actually happened was his support in the polls surged. And even people who disagreed with his position on welfare admired his courage in fighting for it. And the same thing happened in 2002 when, again, he was the only Democratic senator running for re-election to vote against the Iraq War.
How can you contrast Paul Wellstone with the current leadership in the Democratic Party in the House and the Senate?
Well, you know, I think things have gotten a little better in the House and Senate, but the truth is they just don't have the taste for confrontation that Wellstone also brought to politics. You know, he always said you have to pick a fight to win one, and I think that idea is totally anathema to most of the congressional leadership. I mean, what we've seen on Iraq especially is they're just unwilling to endure criticism from Republicans. Even when they have, you know, overwhelming support in the polls, I think they really could have fought harder to cut off funding for the war and start sending that to more progressive priorities. But, you know, you even see it on things like the energy bill, which I think it's the Democrats, we had a lot of hope that they would pass an energy bill that would really start to tackle the climate crisis and save consumers money, but they just weren't willing to stand tough and ride out the fight. I think the congressional leadership was intimidated by the Republican talking point that, oh, you know, Democrats aren't achieving anything. And they get wrapped up in this idea, oh, the Republicans are saying the Democrats aren't achieving anything. We better achieve something, even if what they're achieving is really not going to be that good for the country. And, you know, they've got to realize that grassroots Democrats and grassroots independents want them to stand up and fight harder. That's in general what people are looking for in candidates, as I talk about in the book. And also, you know, the things that the Democrats are fighting for are things that people will get behind. I mean, it's like how many Americans are really going to back the Republicans in a fight over whether we should lengthen the Iraq War? How many Americans are going to fight Republicans over the idea that we should, you know, pretty seriously tackle the climate crisis? And yet, Democrats just don't have the taste for confrontation that's Paul Wellstone and others have proved is necessary for success in politics, and that Republicans have proved is necessary for success in politics. I think, you know, even though Republicans advocate these policies that are out of sync with Americans' views, far to the right of them, and also policies that very often fail drastically, they know that confrontation can yield political success because it excites your own supporters, and, you know, especially when you're dealing with people like the Democrats, can intimidate them. So I think the Democrats really need to embrace the idea that it's okay to fight for what you believe.